Hey, good morning. This is Ted Brewer from the Ted Dawson Brewer Show.
All right, take two.
Welcome to the Ted Dawson Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Hunter, bring me my mouse. It's a Friday show. I'd have Hunter come over here and over to the compound and bring me my mouse for me.
Okay, well, we're going to start on the show. Doctors warn against a common over-the-counter allergy medicine that is basically being recalled, and people are stopping it everywhere. And basically, it's Benadryl, Austin.
Benadryl?
Yeah.
Recalled for what? Is it contaminated or something?
Well, they're saying that basically causes all kinds of problems when it gets into the brain, and they're warning people to be careful with it and not use it very much.
And, you know, I've never, ever felt right when I take Benadryl. It also makes me real groggy and drowsy.
Well, here's what it says. This is my computer decided to dump the story. Doctors are taking aim at a medicine cabinet staple, arguing its risks outweigh its benefits. Millions of adults take the over-counter drug Benadryl for allergies and for drowsiness to help with sleep. Is one of the most recognizable allergy medicines on pharmacy shelves for its ability to alleviate allergy-related runny nose and histamine reactions. But internal medicine physicians argue that the FDA should take it off the market, the over-the-counter medicine from the U.S. market based on concerns about potentially severe adverse effects, including substantial brain damage.
Benadryl. Talking about pulling Benadryl off the market?
Diphedrin hydramine is the first-generation antihistamine that easily enters the brain, where it causes drowsiness and impairs alertness and coordination. The sedation can reduce work productivity, hurt school performance, and significantly increase the risks of car accidents. In some cases, effects on driving were more severe than being over the legal alcohol limit.
Wow. I told you, I've only taken Benadryl a handful of times, and every time I've taken it, I just feel groggy. Yeah, next day, I'm foggy.
Beyond sleepiness, diphedrin hydramine also causes a range of uncomfortable and sometimes dangerous side effects, including dry mouth, constipation, blurred vision, confusion, urinary difficulty, which are especially risky for older adults. Young people also overdosed on the seemingly innocuous drug. Long-term or frequent use of Benadryl has been linked to serious heart rhythm problems and increased risk of dementia.
Wow.
Its drowsiness can be severe enough that European labels warn against driving after taking it. U.S. pilots are banned from flying while using it. Newer antihistamines like Nalisimol basically offer equal allergy relief with fewer side effects and longer acting. Despite these advantages, it's similarly placed product available over the counter drugs. This party, they're saying take it off the market because the side effects are so bad. In fact, physicians at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the University of California, San Diego, made the case in the Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine that this product should be supplanted by second-generation antihistamines and completely pulled off the market.
National Library of Medicine. It's time to say a final goodbye. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean,
well, you know, it's funny because a lot of times people take that just to sleep, and they take it every single night. And the sad part about it is, this is child abuse as far as I'm concerned. They give it to babies, to make them sleep. And now you're realizing that it's causing brain damage. And I would never give that to a child. It's ridiculous. If you give the child some really good, goat's milk, organic, raw, certified by the state. You'll put that baby to sleep like a rocking chair, but
use a very 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 micro dose of melatonin too if a child needs to sleep. It works pretty good.
Better than Benadryl.
No, I'm talking so tiny, point milligram kind of style as far as melatonin. But golly, this stuff. I mean, I knew there'd been side effects from it. I've heard that numerous times from people as they say, if you take Benadryl, do not drive for the next 12 hours. I mean, it's like slower metabolizing than alcohol in the body when it comes to reflexes. Are you kidding? You're not supposed to drive for 12 hours.
Well, you know what's funny about Benadryl? It's a great antihistamine. It really
is. Yeah, it does. It works.
But the problem with it is that it loses its effect very, very quickly as far as from an antihistamine standpoint. It works the first time you take it. Next time it doesn't work as well. So just be careful with these kind of things. They all have side effects. By the way, the shocking relationship between fluoride and water and children's health, as RFK is calling once again for a nationwide ban of fluoride.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this on yesterday's show about how the dentists still push fluoride treatments when you go in to get your teeth cleaned.
They do.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Mine doesn't anymore. They don't even talk to me about it. They already know how I am.
A rigorous new study concluded that fluoride added to public water to prevent tooth decay, which is a lie, doesn't do it. But it basically has an impact on birth weight and other outcomes. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy has long criticized fluoride in public drinking water, liking it to mass medication that poses significant health risk, particularly to neurological development in children and massive loss of IQ points in kids.
There you go.
Critics commonly highlight research linking fluoride to health concerns like impaired cognitive development or thyroid dysfunction. And a January 2025 study found an association between higher fluoride and lower IQ scores in children once again. However, a major caveat was the study was analyzed with no U.S. data. Most of it was coming out of China and India. The authorities thought fluoridating water rests with local and state authorities, as seen recently, with the first two states to ban it outright. Go Florida.
Yeah,
and
buddy.
Utah. But Kennedy, you know, it's so funny now. Every once in a while, I'll go to a restaurant, and they don't have bottled water. Yeah, I'm in Florida. I think to myself, all right. And I ask them, do you run it through a filter? All right. And I'll just get regular tap water if they run it through a filter, which I don't like doing. But I never would do that when I knew there was fluoride in it, Austin.
No.
I would just not drink. I'd go back to the car and get a glass of water or bring my Yeti inside or something.
I've done that many times. A lot of restaurants now will let you bring your tumbler in as long as they don't think you're trying to bring alcohol or something in.
Yeah.
So I've had them ask, what do you got? And I'm like, dude, it's water. I'm not coming in with booze, doing something stupid. I need water.
Well, sometimes they'll say, well, we have water here. And I said, well, do you have distilled water?
Or bottled water.
Do you have distilled water here? I'm on a lowered sodium diet. Do you have distilled? No.
A lot of nicer restaurants, though, usually have glass and glass bottled water now.
Well, but I remember I went to a restaurant over in Tampa last year, and I remember they would not let me in with my water. And I told them, I said, if you have salt-free water, you know, basically RO water, I said, I'll be happy to do it, but I don't want bottled water with salt in it or minerals in it. And they said, once I told them that, they said, oh, it was for a medical purpose. And I said, yep. They said, okay, never mind. Take it on in. So I thought that was interesting.
It's medicinal.
But now a sweeping new study from Columbia University accounted for more than 11 million births, around 677 counties over two decades of fluoridation as community water has been more common. And basically it's saying that there's a massive drop in birth weight and gestation and prematurity in counties that added fluoride into the water and a massive loss of IQ. You know, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Hydrofluorosilicic acid, you know, as they say, it's a mineral added in. No, it's hydrofluorosilicic acid. It's a byproduct of phosphate production and aluminum production, and it was really a big byproduct when they were manufacturing heavy water and building nuclear weapons. And the crazy part is that it's so toxic, it comes with skull and crossbones on the labels of these containers that carry it. It's rat poison is what it is. They use it for rat poison, but yet they want to pour it into our water supply and say it helps with our teeth. And I know we've talked about it many times, but this study just came out on Daily Mail today warning us again. And I read the book, The Aging Factor by Yami Yadis. It was written 40 years ago. I read that book one time years ago. I still have it in my library somewhere. And I said, I'm done with fluoride. Started doing distilled water.
Well, the thing, and I tell this to a lot of people, because this is something you definitely want to look at when you're trying to detox and or lose weight as well. Lana's got a real good friend. She's known for years. And she's been eating super clean now. She's been actually taking some supplements. And she's having a hard time dropping that last bit of fat. And she's also been having a hard time trying to get her complexion good. She's had acne. She fought acne for years. And she's been doing microneedling and a few other things, but she's still having this acne outbreaks.
Who is this again?
This is one of Lana's friends. Okay. And so I asked her the other day, I said, Lana, because I was asking Lana my opinion. I was talking about supplements, diet. I said, is she being honest and open about her diet, or is she cheating on it? And they said, she's being pretty honest about it. She's been showing me sheets on everything. I said, okay, second question. What is she drinking every day?
There you go.
She goes, well, she doesn't drink soda anymore. She cut that out. I said, okay, that's a plus. She's just drinking water. I said, from where? And she asked her. She goes, I just drink it out of the faucet. I drink it at work from the faucet. Or basically, out of the poor thing. She works at a restaurant. And I said, bingo, there's your money. I said, she's drinking straight up tap water every single day. And I said, the fluoride is allegedly out of the water now in Florida.
I hope it is.
I said, but that does not address the massive amounts of chlorine and other toxins that are in the water on a regular basis. Yeah. And I said, the fluoride, especially, I said, if it's still in the water over there in Tampa, which it may or may not be, I've never tested it. Remember, the thyroid looks at as far as the fluoride as a halogen. Same thing with all these other minerals that are in there.
Like iodine.
Iodine. Mm-hmm. So what happens is it starts absorbing it, and the body downregulates the metabolism. I said, I can guarantee you if she gets her blood levels tested, that her thyroid-stimulating hormone and her other T3 and her thyroid functioning is going to be downregulated. That's why she can't burn any body fat right now, even though she's eating clean. Because she's not really exercising, which I told her she needs to be doing that. But I've seen so many times now, there's a lady in New York, real good customer we had. She's fighting the exact same thing. Bad complexion, having an issue trying to lose last bit of weight. I told her, I said, we went through the whole protocol with her. She goes, well, I'm just drinking regular tap water up here in New York.
I remember that.
And I said, get on a water distiller and change your shower head out with our water filtration system. She changed her shower head out with a water filter. She went on the distilled water, started adding minerals to it. Within a month, her complexion had cleared up, and she started losing body fat with the berberine and the cinnamon extract like that. Got her thyroid kicked back in. It's that strong on the body when you're drinking toxic water like that every single day. Your body's made up of water, like 70% water. You need to drink half your body weight in fluid ounces of water every day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you need to drink 100 ounces a day of purified distilled or reverse osmosis water. If you're not drinking that in general, your body can't get rid of the toxins. If you are drinking that much water and it's toxic, you're literally just putting garbage back in your body that your body's having to cycle out and process, which is what causes a lot of the issues with the acne, in my opinion. And then you go home, and you're taking a shower back in the water again for 30, 45 minutes.
That's true.
Is it?
You know, I mean, people are always saying, well, you have a shower filter. Well, no, I use well water.
Yeah.
We're right in the Florida aquifer. And I'm not saying that it's perfectly pristine water, but, you know, I'm not showering in chlorine and fluorine and everything else. Remember, chlorine, fluorine, bromine, all these things are halogens. And the body, as Austin just said, thinks that they're iodine, and it absorbs it into the thyroid gland. Yep. That's why you don't ever want to. That's why. And that's what's so frustrating to me. You go into a doggone restaurant and you order a bottle of water and you look at the label on it. It contains fluorine, contains chlorine, contains all these other chemicals they're putting into the bottled water. And you're saying, why are you doing this? And it's just the manufacturer.
Well, that's some of a lot of the ones, though, as far as you actually get natural water on it, they're usually pretty.
But most of those have the mineral salts in them. And so you got to be careful to have mineralized water because of what it'll do to the arteries. Oh, yeah. By the way,
I'd rather drink mineralized spring water than I ever would put fluoride in my body.
Oh, me too. I mean, the cancer now killing more Americans under 50 than any other cancer. Why is it still being caught too late? Colon cancer is now the leading cause of death in young Americans, alarming research has found. Colorectal cancer has surged in young people across the country over the past two decades from 8.6 cases per 100,000 to 13 cases per 100,000. That's a huge increase. Since 2004, incidence among people under 50, a population historically thought of as unlikely to develop disease, has increased by about 2% every year. For many patients, the CRC symptoms are subtle, like dabs of blood on toilet paper or lingering abdominal pain. And in some cases, symptoms are even non-existent, leading to later diagnoses and more advanced, harder-to-treat tumors. New research at the American Cancer Society has found that the picture for young CRC patients has grown even more grim than other forms of cancer. There's multiple reasons this is happening. The primary reason is the use of glyphosate. Just to let you know that, because of all the GMO food we're eating with all the glyphosate that's been poured into the food supply. Second is sodium nitrite, which we talked about the other day. Ham being listed as a Schedule I carcinogen. And pork. And also, the food that we eat nowadays is almost devoid of fiber. This is really important. And when you have insufficient fiber in your body has a very slow fecal transit time. But then let's not forget what the COVID shot did and how it downregulated the immune system.
That's exactly right.
And all these young people took the COVID shot. So get on our Spike Protein Survival Kit program. Really important. And also increase fiber, increase the water, the good clean water in your diet every single day. And make sure you have 2 to 3 bowel movements every single day. Because when you're eating ultra-processed food with hardly any fiber in it, your bowels are going to get really, really sluggish. And when they get sluggish, it's going to increase the risk of the colon cancer. Because remember, if your colon's not vacating itself, it's filled with feces. Always remember that. And that feces starts to rot and starts to basically decay inside of your body even further. And when it does that, that toxicity goes into the body through the portal vein and also through the colon. I can't tell you how important it is to have your colon stay on a clean basis all the way. We have a 7-day cleansing program. I'm sure we even carry the products for it anymore. But it actually flushes the colon out twice a day for 7 days while you're doing this type of fast. And what it does, it really helps to make the colon a lot healthier because it gives it a break and helps get all the junk out of it. There's a really good book that was written by Bernard Jensen years ago. It's called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management. And it goes into detail on why the colon has to be clean. And a lot of skin disorders that we talked about just a minute ago can be caused by a plugged up colon because the body's reabsorbing poisons through the intestinal tract back into the body, and it's called auto-intoxication. So make sure we have a really good herb product that we use at the office, and plus magnesium will help to keep those bowels regulated so that you use the bathroom on a regular basis. And sometimes people say even the purple sticks will get their bowels moving for them. But you, I'm just letting you know that. But
purple sticks are life.
Yeah, purple sticks are great. But you need to always remember that those bowels have to work. That's why colon rectal cancer now for people under the age of 50, that is so preventable, Austin. It really, really is. But you got to eat clean.
You got to get enough fiber. And I'm telling you, like you said, a lot of it is really, in my opinion, a lot of it is ultra-processed foods that have, they're void of all nutrients. There's no fiber. There's no significant protein in it. The carbohydrates are trash. All you got are these toxic elements. Because you got to remember, when you're drinking and you're eating all these ultra-processed foods all the time, like Dad just said, they're causing massive inflammation throughout the body. Massive inflammation. That's why the GHI Cleanse Fast is such an amazing product to use as a tool, because it allows your body to come down. I mean, I do GHI Fast all the time, especially in January. Let the body relax, detox the body, pull stress off the liver, let it just calm down for a couple days. And what it does is it allows the body to just get that inflammation response down. It'll help out with your joints. It'll help out with your mental acuity. It'll help out with your bowels. Helps out with everything. Now, other article that popped up here now. This is interesting. I talk about it all the time. It's getting worse. Daily AI use is linked to significantly higher depression. So if we didn't have enough issues enough here in the United States with mental health, with diet, with colorectal cancer, now we're having depression apparently go to a whole nother level from AI. Social media contribute a significant amount. Excess phone time, screen time contribute a lot amount. Now we got AI is factoring in. They're saying adults who use generative AI tools every day, especially for personal, non-work reason, show significantly higher rates of depression than those who use them less often or not at all on a survey research of 20,000 people published this week in JAMA Network Open. The survey conducted online found about 1 in 10 adults now use generative AI at least one time a day. Daily users had about 30% higher odds of having moderate depression. They said the study shows an association with AI and more depression. They said the study emphasizes spreading quickly, being used on an enormous scale, making it especially important to understand what's driving the relationship. Now, they said a lot of times what made it even worse was personal use. They said when they did the research on it, those reported daily use, 87% were for personal work or for personal use. They said only 48% was for work and 11% was for school. Now, here's what you guys have to ask yourself the question, right? They're allegedly bringing out AIs as evaluation, this multi-trillion-dollar evaluation with AI to market, because it's going to make everything faster, everything better, everything more efficient, everything just more streamlined. But now they're showing here that the vast majority of people aren't using it for anything with work. They're using it for basically personal reasons. 87% are using it for personal reasons. And they said many people are turning to AI for mental health support now. Not surprising, the heavier users are reporting more symptoms. So you got people that are already having mental issues, they're already having depression issues, and now they're reaching to AI to basically have more help, and AI is making it significantly worse.
You know, it's interesting. About a year ago, you know, I was, you know, on a dating site, and somebody sends me this detailed questionnaire. It was all AI.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
No. It was like, you know, 4 pages long. And they expected me to answer this detailed AI questionnaire about every portion of my life history. You talk about collecting data on somebody.
Yeah.
And I just told them, I said, what's wrong with you? I'm not going to give you this kind of information. Who do you think you are? What is this? And what it was an AI thing. It was all kinds of questions. I mean, I bet they had 50 questions. It reminds me of people when they send me an email, Austin, and they have 100 questions on the email. Yeah, it goes on for a day, pages after pages after pages. And finally, I say to them, I say, you know, I really appreciate your feeding, you know, giving me feedback. But if I have 100 people a day send me an email with 100 questions, you know, that's 10,000 questions a day I've got to answer. Where do I take the time or find the time to do this? You know, and so it's ironic to me that AI, even though you can use it for things like that, it doesn't have enough sense to know that people aren't going to answer questions like that.
Oh, well, a lot of it, though, you got to remember, a lot of that stuff was probably presented on there as a data gathering tool.
That's
from
exactly
some
right.
An individual was running the show behind
company.
The scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Here's the part that's crazy about here. You wait. I'm sure Dad's going to give me a response on this one.
Here we go.
Daily users were, for non-work reasons, were more likely to be men, higher income earners with college and graduate degrees. Says when AI-powered companionship and chatbots are starting to replace conversations with friends, family, and females, it subtly changed how people cope with stress. Human interaction provides an emotional nuance that AI can't replicate. AI chatbots are now designed to keep people engaged as long as possible, responding quickly, adapting to your interests, making conversations feel personal. That may be comforting in the moment, but this frictionless experience is creating an illusion of intimacy that does not hold and can lead to feeling more disappointed in real life and being emotionally dependent over time. In some cases, chatbots are exacerbating delusions and even suicide attempts among users. This is starting to happen because this entire weird relationship in the world now, as far as between women, men and women, has gotten so unbelievably botched. And so what's happened is now, this is what they're saying here. A lot of these guys that are successful, that are college educated, are sick of dealing with all these unbelievably nightmarish females out in the working world.
I'm not saying all of them. Did you just say that?
This feminism.
Oh, you're going to get letters.
I don't care on this one. I'm happy with my life. I'm saying I've watched it. I've got friends. I live it. As far as I see it all the time. I got people call me all the time on stuff. This feminism movement and this push on social media now of all these women being, you know, I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that and I can get this and this and this and this and this, but I want to do everything I want on my own.
I thought Friday was a health show.
It is. I'm about to get into it.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
And so here's the problem that you're starting to see with this is guys, in this case, need to stop focusing on trying to have an AI companionship bot in order to have a relationship and focus more on themselves, focus more on their relationship with Christ, focus more on their personal mental health, and focus more on growth and making sure your overall health is in check. Because if you're in check, you won't need to be on a chat box all the time talking to an AI to make you feel better about yourself. That's a fact. If you're getting your mind right, if you're getting your life right, you're not going to be designed to have to talk on a phone and text to basically a fake chat all day. Focus more on what you need to do. All this is being done as a distraction with the AI companies to generate more leads, build more data on you, my friends, and build more basically in ways to inject itself into your life. This is all being done.
Get money from you.
All being done to melt and dip away the masculine, successful men out of the world even further now by taking them away from anything else that's productive and putting them into this unbelievably unrealistic chat box world. Don't fall susceptible to this. Focus on the things that you need to focus on. Focus on staying strong and healthy, and don't let yourself get wrapped up into this, because this is nothing more than another distraction to keep you focused on something else besides what you're supposed to do.
I remember last year I actually had a lady contact me on the dating site, and I told her, you have to learn something. If you can't video chat somebody, they're not real. They're not real. If they won't video chat you within 2 or 3 days after you talk to them online, they're not real. If they can't take time to give you a 10-second video chat to make sure they're real, how are they possibly going to go on a date with you, meet you for dinner? If they don't have if they don't have 10 seconds, how can they have 2 hours? How's that even possible? And the vast majority of these people aren't real. And then this one lady, she ended up saying, I'll video chat you. And it was an AI-generated talk. I mean, I'd ask her a question. It would glitch. It'd kind of come out of focus for a second. And it'd crank back up again. And then it'd answer the question in a very shallow way. And immediately it texted me back and wanted to have personal information from me.
Yeah, I remember that. He showed it to me. He's not joking. It was creepy.
And I thought to myself, this is nuts. And then I had another friend of mine last week. He was on Tinder, and I'm not recommending that at all. And he had 4 girls. I mentioned this earlier to you last week. He had 4 girls contact him instantaneously, and all of them were fake. All 4 of them were interested in his, quote-unquote, how should I say this, his cryptocurrency. And he has no cryptocurrency. He's broke. But they were all asking him personal information immediately. Then the one girl, well, I have to fly to California in my private jet. I'm like, what?
They're all AI bot miners. That's what they call them, miners. Mm-hmm. In my NERS, they're mining. They're data mining. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is most of the guys that are halfway alert are going to go, this AI. I'm not going to respond.
90%.
90%. There's 10%, though, that they know. They're going to throw it out there. The guys go, oh, my gosh. Somebody's giving me attention. They don't want to beat me down verbally and take everything. I've got somebody to talk to.
Me down verbally and take everything?
Dude, look at the divorce rate now. Man.
I know.
I was watching a divorce rate. I was watching an article on it the other day, and it was showing now how the current thing, I'm just being honest with you, the current thing is these females get married, then basically they get divorced when they're tired and bored, and they get half of everything the guy has.
Oh, that's been going on for a long time.
It's getting worse now, that's because now it's like a joke on social media.
Well, now, guys, if you don't do a prenup, something's wrong with you. If you have any type of net worth. And ladies, it happens to you too. You gotta do a prenup too. But I've seen it over and over again.
Well, what's happening now? Social media is exacerbating it. They're making it like it's the new thing now. Basically, it's the current thing that's funny and cool to do, and it's the new way to basically gather net worth. It's like a
lawsuit.
Yeah.
Because that's what it turns out.
But that hurts. Okay, I need $100 million now. You're like, okay, that's stupid. I'll settle for $1 million. And that's what they do now with all these lawsuits. It's bizarre.
But the reality is that, we have, how can I say this in a way that's not going to make everybody unbelievably mad?
It's okay. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
We get to be the equal opportunity offenders on Friday.
When they taught women how to be biatches, and they made it so it was favorable in society to be a boss woman, boss lady, and you can go ahead and belittle your man, be unbelievably mean to your man, drag him around by his nose with a ring in it for your man, and treat him like he's trailer trash guy to a man, and basically take what he has and then leave him sitting there on the side of the road, basically destitute and afraid and alone. And they said that was a good thing. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's harsh, but that's a doggone truth. I mean, I saw it happen in the 60s and 70s. We had a full cultural shift. It got worse in the 80s and the 90s. And now, like I told you last year, I went to this birthday party, and there's like four guys there, and three of them are wearing princess bracelets. And they're sitting there, little beta boys, and they can't say anything, and their wives are extremely dominant. And I'm like, what in the heck just happened to the human beings? And what happens, you beat a guy down long enough, far enough, he'll either go gay, or he'll become a beta, or he'll just give up on dating altogether.
And then they start going to chatbots.
Yeah, and then the women go, what happened to all the men? Well, feminism did that. Feminism destroyed the relationship between men and women. It did. And that's why, now they're coming out with all of these robots.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them look pretty doggone real. And I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. I know it's going to sound weird. A lot of guys would prefer to be with a robot that's really hot and really pretty and really nice than with a nightmare woman who's going to be dripping and yelling and screaming and hollering at him all the time and putting him down constantly. See, sarcasm is a way to cover up being rude to somebody and insulting people. That's all it is.
Most of the time.
No, 99% of the time it is. And what's funny to me is like this. The woman says on her dating profile, I'm very sarcastic, just let you know that in advance. Well, that means she's a nightmare from the pit.
And she's That's pretty much exactly what that means.
And she's putting a big flag over her head saying, I'm a nightmare from the pit, I'm going to put you down. And then you got the ones that are called theme dom. Have you ever heard of that, Austin?
Yes.
That's financial dominance. Then someone say, just give me your checkbook and shut up.
Yep.
And you're like, where are these people coming from? This is our culture today.
It's been exacerbated with films. It's been exacerbated with social media. And it's being promoted as the new current thing. You ever wondered why 90% of the films now is why nobody goes to watch them? Because they're all a bunch of DEI crap. Every time you go see it, and I'm not picking on anybody in martial arts because I was in martial arts for 15 years. I know it well. I know the floor. I know the mat. I know the ring. I know the gloves. I know everything. But they always have these movies now where the female's this unbelievably aggressive, dominant individual who's bossing all the men around and gets in fights with guys that are 6'6", 280, and she's going around and doing rear naked chokes on them and putting them in arm bars on the floor. And I'm like, that doesn't happen in existence. Yeah. I've been in the ring hundreds of times. Okay, I've never watched that in my life in a single occurrence.
You see that with the Avengers. What's that girl's name? The little short one.
I don't remember.
No, I forgot.
I know what you're talking about, but there's a lot more movies besides that.
Okay, let me say something to you, and this is going to be kind of like, whether you want to believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. If somebody's 5 feet tall, right, and they weigh 95 pounds, and they are fighting a guy in a ring who's 6'6" and he weighs 300 pounds and he's muscled up.
Not even just a ring. These are depicted street fights in films, you know?
No, because this little one, for whatever her name is, she jumps up on him and spins around and throws him to the mat and chokes him out. If a girl is 5 feet tall and the guy's 6'8" and he weighs 300 pounds and he's muscled up, and she tries to think that she's going to do a rear naked choke on this guy, he's not even going to realize he's got a fly on his back. He won't even pay any attention to her. And then he'll basically yank her off of himself and just slam her against the wall if she was really in a fight with him. It doesn't work like that in the real world, but they've proved. But what's happened is, that's why we covered this yesterday. It's Friday. The ladies, this Jezebel, probably Butch Dyke lesbian, is talking to this black guy who's part of ICE about why he's a racist pig.
Right. Where do you think that culture's coming from?
Well, it's from this. And so what happens is the women get meaner and meaner and meaner. The guys go, you know what? I think I'll be gay.
Gosh.
And you go, well, that happened? Yeah, it happens. And you think, well, that guy was leaning that way anyhow. Probably. But the point was, she sure pushed him over the edge. I remember there was this guy that was a pilot. I talked to him one time. I flew with him a couple times, and he was gay. And I remember one time, I was just kind of messing with him a little bit. I said, do you have a girlfriend? And he goes, well, no, I had a girlfriend when I was in high school, and she really did me wrong, messed me up bad. And I thought to myself, yeah, it happens. And so what the problem with all of this stuff is then the women come back, you know, these women that are like that 20 years later, and now they're, you know, 35 years old, and they go, oh, my biological clock is ticking. Where are all the men?
Yeah.
Well, you already ran them all off.
That's exactly right.
You know, you're like awful, and you don't even see it. And that's the problem that we have in the United States of America. That's why so many people are leaving, like James Cameron, who did a bunch of really big movies. He's like a billionaire now. And so he's made $1 billion in the United States doing things like Avatar, doing Terminator.
Terminator, yeah.
Great director, producer, he is. But then he starts slamming the United States, and now he's moved to New Zealand.
Of course he has. Well, New Zealand's pretty nice.
Well, he starts talking about how their vaccination rate is 98%
for COVID. Get out of here.
So James Cameron, here's the thing. You know, you've done some pretty good movies. I'll give you that. But just shut up. Nobody cares about your political stuff. You're the court jester. You're supposed to be here to entertain us.
Entertain us.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what was this guy who said that? It was Goldie Hawn's husband.
Oh, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. We're the court jesters. We come in and entertain.
You just keep your opinion to yourself.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody wants to know.
You're not going
to
see a court jester coming in juggling balls into the castle, and he's going to start talking to the king about political beliefs.
But Sydney Sweeney being a mongrel would be okay.
Well, it's funny,
that's what she's talking about now, being a bongo.
It's like in certain roles, certain films, you know, like we talked about earlier, like you said a heck of a go, with this concept of some of these individuals and these females in these places that they think they have this ability to do things that aren't in existence. It's funny, it popped in my head a second ago. As I used to go down south to Boca when I was bodybuilding with Flex Lewis and Dallas McCarver. Rest in peace, Dallas McCarver, great guy, bodybuilder, died way too young. And I remember he was like 6'4". I have a photo of him. We used to train together. He's like 6'4", 270. And I remember when there one day we're doing shoulders down in Boca, and he's got 405 on shoulder press, military shoulder press, senior military shoulder press. 405. That's four plates on each side, okay? And he's repping this on, you know, military press. And I'm sitting there thinking in my head, man, I can't imagine if, you know, a 100-pound person were to jump on his back, how he could absolutely do nothing about it and not handle his own. That's a quarter of what he's military pressing. But yet the films want to depict this as a normal behavior where you're going in and jumping on people. Stay in your lane. If you need to defend yourself, carry a firearm, please. Because I tell you, even if he jumped on me, I couldn't even handle myself with him. He's so stinking strong.
No, but here's the problem.
I'm fast.
Now, here's the problem it gets into. All right. I remember I had a friend of mine named Vernon.
Yeah.
Vernon died young. He died in his 40s with cancer. But he used to come to my mom's bar.
Yeah.
Right? Well, he had a sister-in-law named Nell. Stories from the bar. Okay.
You got a lot of them.
I got a lot. This
wild.
I watched this happen. And Nell got mad at Vernon one day. They're both in their, you know, 40s. And she walks over to Vernon and she just starts beating on him.
Punching him?
No, I mean,
close fists?
No, I mean, right there in the bar. And I remember what Vernon did. Vernon covered up and put his head down on the bar and covered his head up so he couldn't be getting pounded in the head.
The face.
And she sat right there and just, I mean, she beat him at least 20 hits.
Gosh.
And finally we told her, said, Nell, man, cut him some slack. He wouldn't touch her. He wouldn't touch her. He wouldn't hit her back. All right? Because back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, we were all taught never to hit, never to touch a woman.
Yeah.
You don't do it. Well, then what happens is the Butch Dyke lesbians learned this.
Yeah.
And so they felt as though they could just go free for all and beat the crap out of men, and they were a male chauvinistic, misogynistic pig if they tried to defend themselves.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Well, that culture then permeated into the general overall culture in which women felt as though they could do anything they wanted to do to a man, but he couldn't defend himself. Well, now they found out that if you really hit some guys nowadays who don't really play that game anymore, they're going to knock you out. And you think, well, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, they would. I remember one time I had a friend of mine, and he got married to this lady. And then he came back, and we knew the family well. And finally, the lady came back and told my wife, I'm divorcing so-and-so. And I thought, wow, it's just, he raised his hand to me. And so I asked the dude, I said, dude, are you like punching on your wife? I mean, what's up with that? I mean, she said you raised your hand to me. He goes, no, I never hit her. I never touched her. And he unbuttoned his shirt sleeves, and he rolled his sleeves up. And he was black and blue from his wrist to his shoulders. He goes, all I did is raise my hands to cover my head while she beat me again. And when I don't give her money, she beats me. And I thought to myself, my God. And within a few months, that guy was so stressed out, he had a massive stroke and died. And you think to yourself, does that really happen? Yeah, it really happens, guys. Physical abuse of men towards women is real, and it's awful. But physical abuse of women towards men is also just as real, and it's awful, too. If you're going to be in a situation where you feel you have to be violent with somebody in order to be in a relationship with them, you need to move on.
You need to step away. Yeah.
Just need to move on.
It's gone increasingly toxic.
You know, and you think, well, it can't be that bad. Yeah, the world is that bad now, guys. And just avoid all of that stuff because it's not worth it. And a lot of times, remember, let's go back to the nutrition part of this. Cecilia Roosevelt, MD, wrote that one of the primary causes of marital discord are blood sugar imbalances.
Yep, hyperglycemia.
And she said that a lot of people, when they have these crumbling marriages where they're beating on each other, right? And they basically found out that when they do a glucose tolerance test on them, that these people are hypoglycemic. And their blood sugar drops off really low, yep. And they get really mad and really mean. And they want to be in a fight because anything triggers them. And if they're both like that, it turns into a fist for all. I mean, everybody gets one free for all. I remember I knew this one girl named Bonnie, not from the bar, but from the clinic. And I'll never forget, she got really it was Bonnie number one, Bonnie number two, Bonnie number three. You never know what you're getting when Bonnie walked in the door. And Bonnie was a pretty girl, but she wasn't all that, but she thought she was all that. And then she marries this guy like 15 years younger than her, which I don't have a problem with that if she wanted to do that. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, she kept him in his place. So one day she got mad at him and she went out to his car. He had a brand new Audi, nice one too, and took a screwdriver to the hood.
Screwdriver.
And she wrote BITCH in the hood in about 1 foot block letters all the way to the metal. And then he comes over to me. He goes, man, look what she did, man. I said, dude, I tell you what, I just think I'd pass on this one. Let her go.
God.
Then she ends up marrying him. And then it got worse. Then she became physically abusive to him, beating him all the time. And you think to yourself, why do people live like that? You know, honestly, Austin, I don't know.
Stockholm Syndrome?
So hypoglycemia is one of the biggest reasons that people have marital problems. Stabilize your protein. Get something to eat. Eat more protein. Get off the sugars and the carbs and all the garbage that you're eating. It's going to cause your blood sugar to spike and then drop. Very important.
Yeah, man, that's exactly right. So, well, once you cut the carbs out, you cut the high glycemic carbs out, you stabilize your blood sugar, you throw in the cinnamon extract and the berberine, you'll notice your mood swings in most cases. Because I'll be honest with you, if I don't eat for a while, if I'm not prepped for it, like I'm doing a fast or something, I'm just busy, 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 run around all day and I don't eat something, I will get more irritable. My blood sugar eventually drop after 6-7 hours, and I'm like, and I just get aggressive, and I'm like, I got to eat something. Now, if I'm prepped for it, I'm doing GHI fast, and I'm fasting for 2 or 3 or 4 days, I know what I'm doing, and I'm ready for it. But if I'm just like, go, 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 and all of a sudden, I'm like, gosh, it's 4 o'clock, and I got a meal in.
And ladies, if you're going to force your husband to go shopping, I hate shopping.
Take care of him.
Make sure that he gets food before you take him shopping.
And whatever else he needs.
And whatever else he needs. And husbands, take care of your wives and whatever else she needs. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because quite frankly, if you're going to go shopping with a guy who's got low blood sugar, he's not going to want to be there very long.
Well, it's the same. I'll flip it the same way. If you're a guy and you're wanting to go car shopping, your wife doesn't really like car shopping, but you want to go look at a new Z06, you know, make it reciprocal. Hey, babe, want to go here afterwards? Let's go grab a nice meal. I'm going to go do this. If you make relationships and you go out on dates and you want to do stuff that takes care of each other, make it reciprocal. Hey, we're going to go shopping. First, I want to go look at a new ZR1X that just came out with an 8.6 quarter mile time. That wasn't a Chevy pun. I saw the video yesterday.
If you could find one.
Well, they don't exist yet except on the track. But, yeah. Chevrolet, my hat's off to you guys on that.
Yeah, but you got to remember.
Track stock tires, 8.6 in the quarter. That's insane.
But you got to remember, look at the Nürburgring, that GT3 RS. Well, they only beat it by one second.
You remember, the Nürburgring is a grueling track. It's almost a 7-minute track for pros. That is an unbelievably aggressive track. Americans just aren't built for the Nürburgring.
Okay, let's stop.
That's a German track.
Let's stop here for a second. Okay, let's be real. Okay, Niki Lauda broke the 7-minute thing with the Formula One back in the 70s. He's one of the only people that ever did that back in the 70s. That's a serious track. That was Formula One back then.
He almost killed himself on that rain track, too.
Yeah, he almost died there. And what's crazy about it is that when you look at it now, we've got multiple cars that have broken that 7-minute track record.
Street cars.
And the GT3 RS has like 500 horsepower. It's a Porsche. And the Z06, the R1 or whatever.
ZR1, regular one.
And the one with electric in it, it beats the Porsche by, what, 1 second?
1 second on the
Nürburgring. And it's got like 1,200 horsepower. Is it 1,200?
Yeah, 1,250.
So one's got 500 horsepower. The other's got 1,250 horsepower. If you can't put the power down or it won't handle properly because of the weight. The other day I drove a Porsche. Somebody asked me to go to the Porsche dealership with them. I drove a Panamera. It was electric.
And the EV Pano? That's the taken, isn't it?
It was a
hybrid?
No, it was a hybrid. Okay. It was 770 horsepower, but it handled like a pig. It was so stinking heavy.
Well, it's the batteries.
Yeah.
The batteries, those systems, if they're the big hybrid ones, they're like 700, 800, 900
pounds. No, the crazy part, you open the door on it, and the whole side jacks up 6 inches, so you can see get in it easier.
That's odd.
I've never seen things like that before. It was like it had like every option Porsche could put on it. Like a $300,000 Panamera, and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
That's why Porsche's hurting right now, because they've raised the prices so high that they're just not.
Well, now they've come out. Now they decided to put all of their money into their new new 1,200 horsepower SUV, all electric. I mean, what is wrong with these people?
Come on, guys, do better.
Let me tell you, Mr. Bluma, okay? Which, I'm not going to talk to you about your ethnic
background. I thought it was Rosenstein.
I think it's the same thing. And basically, are you trying to destroy Porsche so you can drop the price down so a bunch of your buddies don't like the free bit? Oh, you haven't done that before? Yeah. But Porsche
is not owned by BlackRock. Their major is Volkswagen, but they're not controlled by BlackRock or State Street yet.
They're controlled by somebody because somebody gave them $20 billion because of the diesel pollution stuff.
Volkswagen. Uh-huh. Ironically, the stuff that they were fined $28 billion for has now been reversed by the Trump administration, the EPA. All that stuff that they got fined for would never have been fined for rolling back now with the EPA as far as the regulations.
That whole thing wasn't about that. It was something else. You know. So
I got interesting news.
What's that?
Cover this. It's a topic.
Talking about cars and dating today. It's supposed to be a nutrition show on
Zero One X. Fast car in the quarter, though, man. You remember, the United States loves their quarter mile time. That's not a Europe thing. That's an American thing, man. Quarter mile drag time. Private equity firms, speaking of BlackRock, they are now owning thousands of autism centers and medical practices across the U.S.
Of course they are.
Surprise, surprise.
Unbelievable.
The firms are known for cutting staff and services to maximize profit. New research has shown that when families don't know who owns the clinic or is benefiting financially, patients are facing real danger as money, not medical need, is driving all care decisions now. They're saying that the private equity-backed firms now are buying up medical centers, also dialysis centers across the country.
We talked about this yesterday in detail, about this very topic.
Overwhelming evidence of PE dangers. Researchers published in the last 9 months is linking private equity takeovers to more deaths and medical complications. These studies, add to previous search, also document excessive understaffing, unsafe conditions, high-risk settings, where rapid and experienced decision-making is critical, as well as declining access to essential but less profitable services. Listen to this. Findings come at a time when for-profit private equity firms have invested more than $1 trillion in the U.S. healthcare center, primarily BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. That the private equity firms are aggressively investing in healthcare apps, public safety systems, even as experts are warning that the profit maximization is becoming the dominant organizing principle in U.S. healthcare.
Well, you know,
imagine that.
We talked about this in depth yesterday.
I know we did. And this is going on. They said private equity is profit seeking on steroids in the medical community. Private equity firms are buying companies, managing them for cash, selling them within 3 to 7 years. The quick turnaround involves organizational, financial restructuring, such as cutting costs, targeting specific services, not producing any significant service, but maintaining overall maximum cash flow.
You know, it's so funny. I watched Mercedes get bought up by a lot of these private equity firms.
Yep.
And then they come in and they bring in one of their little bean counters every month, and they yep. actually look at every single invoice, every single nut, screw, bolt. If it costs us $2, we're going to make sure we mark it up 22 cents.
Yep.
And I'm like, really, dude, the bill's going to be $5,000 anyhow. Does it really matter if you make the extra 22 cents? Yes. And you're like, geez, man, get a life. But that's how they are. These guys are completely steeped in greed and evilness, and they're back to what Jesus says. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's avarice. And that's why they had I was reading this morning, in Malachi, and it was talking about how they use these unjust scales.
Yep.
And how they go in and they have a whole bag full of wrong weights to steal people's gold and silver from them when they're coming in to trade stuff. And it's sad.
They shave it off by the grams.
And we saw that when we were at the Bible Museum.
Oh, they had it there. They had glass. You could look at it. He talked about it.
Yeah, he talked about how it was an unjust scale. And Jesus specifically, it was so bad back then, they actually talked about it. And, in the Bible.
It's made full history in museums now.
Oh, by the way, a study reveals shocking impact on gut bacteria on health. We talked about this, haven't we? Pull up that 350 billion probiotics that we have here.
On it.
Scientists have discovered a direct link between aging, gut bacteria, and the body's failing ability to repair itself, pinpointing a key driver of physical decline. There's a direct link between the collection of bacteria in your gut and how well your cells age. In other words, you want to get old really fast? Take a bunch of antibiotics. New research shows suggesting that maintaining a healthy gut microbiome have led a major impact on a person's health. A gut microbiome is a complex ecosystem of trillions of microorganisms, both beneficial and harmful. It is a central regulator of human health, influencing everything from immune functions to metabolism to mood to brain health. And now researchers from Deutschland and the U.S. have... I just did that, didn't I?
You did just do that?
And now researchers from Germany and the U.S. have pinpointed a critical mechanism linking microbial balance to tissue health. Their work reveals that the intestinal stem cells responsible for continuously rebuilding the gut lining become less active with age if the gut microbiome is not basically maintained.
Yep.
This age-related decline coincides with significant disruption of the delicate balance of the gut microbiome, including the massive risks of colon cancer. As the balance between beneficial and harmful bacteria changes, the communication between microbes and stem cells break down. The deterioration is believed to trigger a cascade of body-wide inflammation, a major driver of age-related decline. The findings provide a scientific foundation for the booming gut health trend, showing that the microbiome does far more than aid digestion. It appears to directly regulate tissue repair and cellular aging, Austin.
There you go.
And what happens is this. We talked about this in depth. There's not a wire or a direct nerve that goes to gut microbiome into
the brain. No.
It connects to the brain via scalar energy fields.
Yeah.
And the response is instant. It's like talks to each other. Haven't you ever got upset and you get a gut problem, and your brain starts doing weird things and your gut gets messed up and you start getting depressed and your gut gets messed up? To pinpoint the connection between the gut bacteria and the aging at the cellular level, the researchers designed a series of experiments primarily using mice, and they first confirmed the gut microbes of young and old mice were distinctly different. Then to test cause and effect, they performed a microbe transplant. They gave old mice a course of antibiotics to clear their existing gut bacteria, then repopulated their systems with gut microbe from young mice. They performed the reverse, giving the young mice, and they analyzed the gene activity in the intestinal, and they found out that when you have good gut bacteria, you stay young. When you have old gut bacteria, you get old really quick, regardless of your age. So in other words, if you go in and you destroy your gut bacteria and you allow yeast to come in and overtake it, and you end with a real bad yeast infection, you're going to massively age your cellular structure and your entire body, and your brain health is going to go to poop.
It is. That's why we have the probiotics that we have mm-hmm. to maintain this function that he's talking about here. $350
billion.
We have the 350. Let's go back to all three of them. We got the probiotic DF, the 350, and the 100 billion. The 100 billion is great for continual maintenance, high-dose maintenance. The DF is our more cost-like budget one. The 350 is the absolutely strong one. And this is my theory. And it's just a theory of mine. Don't quote me on this. I have no scientific backing. This is my personal experience and theory. I think one of the reasons why these individuals that love to breathe free air and they run the medical community and they run the pharmaceutical industrial community, the reason why they love messing up gut bacteria and its connection to the brain, personally, is because they want to decrease people overall, basically, intuition. I think that's part of it.
Ooh.
So, the other day, this is just a personal story. I was coming back from Lakeland. and I was getting ready to leave. And for some odd reason, just odd reason, I felt like there was no need to get on I-4. Just being honest with you, I was driving, and I said, you know what? I'm not getting on I-4. I'm just in the back road. Back road called Pace. Back road, there's no traffic on it. And I was like, I just don't feel like getting on I-4. It just felt off. I just felt off. I don't know how to explain. I felt off.
Holy Spirit.
So I took, you know, take Pace Road. Pace Road's relaxing. It's better. And I take a couple minutes longer. There's no I-4. Well, sure enough, I'm on the way back. I'm on Pace Road. And my friend with me, I said, hey, pull up Waze, the Waze things. I don't have it on my phone. I need to get it. But it shows like cops and stuff. Well, sure enough, I-4 stopped. There's an accident on I-4.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Pace Road runs parallel with it. You kind of see it, but it's far away. And so I'm looking at it. I'm like, is it interesting? I-4 stopped. There's an accident on I-4. I felt the need not to take I-4, and I took a different road. Now, I'm not saying it prevented an accident. I'm not speculating on any of that. What I'm saying is, though, I got a very strange feeling not to go that way for some odd reason, whatever it may have been, and I didn't take it, and there's an accident on I-4. Could it be that they love messing up everybody's gut microbe because it decreases your intuition with that? Possibly. I don't know. My speculation.
Well, I know this. I know many times you're driving on the highway, you're feeling, there's going to be police up here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here they come.
Yeah.
And you're like, remember we were doing that one time. We had borrowed that Mercedes. We had driven to Miami for that, I think, a bodybuilding show.
Yes.
And I said, Austin, I think you need to slow down. I think you need to slow down because I think there's going to be a speed trap up here.
They gave us an E-Class or something, didn't they?
No, they gave us an S-Class 12. So
that's right. It was a V12.
Crazy. That car was
they
fast.
I'll say Mercedes quality control is kind of crap. But back in the day, those AMG V12s, everybody slept on them. They were like $200,000 sticker new. Crazy expensive.
You're later.
You bought one like 2 years later for like 100 grand.
Yeah.
For a twin turbo V12, that's insane. And it's ironic now. Those cars now have actually appreciated in value. They've gone up again.
I don't think they make them anymore.
They don't make them. And so now it's like you got this car's a V12 twin turbo. Now, the only caveat with that, maintenance, baby. Oh, yeah. Maintenance of the twin turbo V12. A lot of valves, a lot of spark plugs. But no, we were running that car. Back in my,
I told you slow down. All the cops coming up. Sure enough, they were.
Sure enough, it was a trooper nest. Mm-hmm. Like six of them.
Oh, the fitness trend taking your local gym by storm. Trainers reveal the hottest new muscles. This is funny. And the best exercises to get them.
The hottest new muscles.
Well, now what they're saying is the butt's a big deal, right? Got that, right? But, you know, not everybody wants a big butt. So now what they're saying is the best exercise to build is a bicep.
We like biceps.
Yeah, that's what it says. And the crazy part about it is with biceps, you know, Mike Mensur talked about this. I think he was right about this. He says you got to work both the shoulder joint and the elbow joint when you're doing biceps. And one of his favorite bicep exercises also was close grip pull downs. You grab a dumb, you know, like a cable pulls, and you pull down because it flexes the biceps going up and down on the shoulder joint and
his close grip pull ups too.
Yeah.
Pull-ups are really crucial.
And can't say much about Mike Mensur, but you know he got robbed by Frank Zane back in 1980 in the Mr. Olympia contest. He got second place, and Boyer Coe should have probably won that too. He got third place. Frank Zane won his third consecutive Mr. Olympia, and he should never have won the third one because he was way outclassed by both Mensur and Boyer Coe. And Boyer's still upset about that, or used to be. Now, whether it is or not, I don't know. And Mike Mensur went to his grave being mad about that. In fact, he retired after that. He said, it's too political about doing this anymore.
A lot of guys learned that in the bodybuilding. It all turned political on them. And most of the guys that were good, like Dorian Yates, you know, he had that last contest. He had a bicep tear in Olympia, and after that he retired. The best thing to do, and I know it fights all those guys, but when you win at the top, hang it up on the shelf, be done with it. They're trying to come back and fight it as you decline.
Well, the only one that really maintained it was Ronnie Coleman.
Until
the last
recently.
Contest, yeah.
He's in Dorian's still in pretty good shape, though.
But Ronnie ends up basically crippling himself.
Yeah, he can't walk.
Squats, you know?
Yeah, I want to go back to what I was talking about, the private equity firms real quick. I just pulled this up, and I want to address this real quick so you guys understand this. After a private equity takes over a hospital, listen to this. People undergoing major surgical procedures at private equity-acquired hospitals had a 17% higher chance of death within 90 days of the surgery of a private equity hospital. Think about that for a second. Almost 25% higher. They're saying increased in post-operative deaths goes through the roof. Emergency department's death rose by 13% after private equity acquisition. This goes back to the nursing homes are associated with much more deficiencies and higher death after the bought by private equity firms. I know a doctor out in Missouri, great guy, talk to him on a regular basis, semi-regular basis, great customer. He is a doctor, and he basically works at various nursing homes. And he said the private equity firms love nursing homes. But they go in, they buy them up, they restructure them, They cut all the costs down. They ramp all the numbers up on the balance sheets. It makes me show the P&Ls that they're making all this profit.
And before they get sued out of existence because of negligence, they sell it.
They sell it. Mm-hmm. And they show all these numbers on it. Then they get some sweet duck buyer to come in and say, look at all this money we're making in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. You're going to get super rich buying a nursing home. They sell it. The new buyer buys it. They realize that, gosh, the negligence, the lawsuits, mm-hmm. the profitability doesn't exist. The private equity firms goes, ho, we love our free air and ripping people off. That's what we do. And they run all the way to the bank with their money, and the poor soul that bought this nursing home falls into the ground with this massive payment he can't cover on a company that doesn't
the
really
only thing
make any money.
If you're going to buy somebody else's company, you better check the books. You better check the last 5 years of tax returns. You make sure they're not fudging numbers. And you make sure that if you buy it, that you don't buy that corporation. You buy the real estate, and you start your own corporations, and you're not liable for all the mistakes that they've done or the lawsuits.
You've got to look at the commercial real estate, because a lot of times what happens is, especially these nursing homes, you don't actually own the property of the commercial real estate of the nursing home. You're like leasing the nursing home from another company on somebody else's property. This is what has happened to the massive casinos in Vegas now. The casinos like the Bellagio don't own the land that the building's on. They only own the building.
Have 100-year lease.
They have to pay $1 million a month leasing fees a month. No, excuse me. Million a day leasing. Some of them are $20 to $30 million a month for leasing fees to be on the land, because BlackRock realized we don't have to come in and buy up the casino. We just have to come in and buy up the property the casino's on. And we don't have to do anything. No maintenance, no updates, no repairs, no cost of anything. Just get money from owning the land. And that's what's happened now. BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard came in and I guess undercut the mafia, as hard as that is to do.
How do you know they're not part of the mafia?
Oh, they probably are.
Yeah.
That it's like when the mafia and the mafia go against each other. Who's the bigger nose? Like
we've been telling people now for 10 years that, you know, that sports is rigged.
Oh, yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, all these people coming out rigging everything. Refs be, you know,
and everybody goes, are you serious? Did you know it's rigged? I'm like, gosh, is this new news to you?
But there's another interesting article. A lady said that she took a weight loss shot, and now she's having uncontrollable seizures, that she almost died, and now she needs a tube just to breathe.
Oh, gosh.
A mother of one has been left fighting for her life after using a weight loss drug that caused seizures, left her needing a tube cut into her throat just to breathe. You know, guys, listen to me. You know, when you start taking these drugs, you start injecting them into your body, they're going to have side effects.
Most of them.
It's better just to go ahead and cut out the high glycemic carbohydrates, eat 6 small meals a day. Find out if your ideal body weighs 180 pounds if you're a dude. Take in 1,800 calories a day, 6 meals a day, 300 calories per meal, and just stagger it out with low glycemic carbohydrates. Don't eat a bunch of pasta, rice, potatoes, bread, juice. Don't do that to get your calories. Stay with high protein, high fat. And you'll be amazed how quickly you'll start losing weight without having to take injections, Austin. This is crazy what's happening with these injections now.
Well, again, it goes back to what I talked about, is that that drug was never designed to be a weight loss drug. It was a diabetic, type 2 diabetes drug. That's how it got approved. Then all of a sudden they said, oh, by the way, we can start selling billions of dollars this by telling everybody it's a weight loss drug. Control your diet, guys. Get on the berberine and cinnamon extract. That'll clean it up. There's another article here that I'm going to have a little bit of updating on. This is about a year old, but it goes to really good detail on vitamin C, memory, iron, gout prevention, immune function. And it goes into detail on all the things that vitamin C does, why it's so crucial to maintain high doses of vitamin C on a regular basis and continually make sure it's in your diet, because vitamin C is water soluble. It says in one study here, vitamin C in doses of just 500 milligrams daily should be used to prevent dementia and neurodegenerative pathways. It says the researchers and other studies support that vitamin C supplementation can be useful in slowing the progression of dementia. This article is all well documented. I mean, we've got references out the wazoo on this. These are all hand documented.
Did Harrison write this one?
Yeah, there's no AI with this. This is all hand documented and verified on here, so you can go in and pull up all this research. This is on vitamin C and why it's so important for almost every facet of the body.
I take over 5,000 milligrams a day. I take the powdered vitamin C, a scoop in the morning with 2 purple sticks, by the way, and 5 turmeric. And I take that every morning when I get out of bed. And I tell you what, I feel great. Oh, by the way, health records can now be sold for a profit. A lawsuit says it's happening.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
Yeah, there we go. On the digital superhighway that allows sensitive patient healthcare records to be shared by hospitals and doctors, something seemed off to engineers at Epic Systems. Among the providers who accessed the network were names that sounded like law firms. Observation led to an investigation into what Epic, the nation's largest vendor of electronic health records, says are organized syndicates. We talked about the mafia a minute ago, remember? Organized syndicates that fraudulently obtained access to nearly 300,000 patient records without their consent, in many cases marketing them to lawyers to allegedly mine for prospective clients for class action lawsuits. And they do the same thing now for tickets. If you get tickets in the mail, you'll have all these law firms start contacting you to represent you. And it's crazy when you see this. And guys, we've been telling you, don't say yes to these things where they say you can be your information can be shared.
No.
No. It's always
No.
It really is. Oh, by the way, we're out of time. Have a great weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in church on Sunday. I thank you so much for your support.
How many customers go to your church now?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. But
For a second, I was like, God, am I going
maybe
there?
Maybe that was metaphorical. I'm looking forward to you being in church.
Fair enough.
At your church. I love you guys. And thank you so much for supporting us. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Man, today was a fast show. Awesome.
Friday, my friends. Have a good weekend. Stay strong and healthy. Grab some vitamin C on sale for product of the week if you want over the weekend. And check out the different health articles we're posting every week. Stay updated on them. Appreciate you, my friends. Have a safe, awesome weekend. We'll talk to you again on this show right here. Monday, back at you next week.
Thank you so much for your support. We really, really appreciate you.